We got to get out more. Out into God's world, out into creation, out into the kingdom, out into relationships with actual people. Screens are great. Technology is great. It's a gift. That's how we're connecting today. But it can kind of warp and twist our lives if we just get trapped in it. I do want to say thank you so much. I was in Santa Cruz this last week at Twins Lake Church. And every time I go someplace and I get to talk to some of you who are part of Become New, who are part of what we call the Fellowship of the Withered Hand. We gather together because we need God. And when we do that together in real life, face to face, it is such an encouragement. It makes such a difference. So I'm so grateful to be a part of this community together. Now, we're looking at how the fruit of the Spirit is an alternative, the kind of people that we want to be, characterized by love, joy, peace. Self-control is the last one. And I want to talk today, and probably more than just today, about self-control, the ability to, with God's help, manage our impulses. And so particularly as it relates to fear, timidity, anxiety. And I want to talk a bit from Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation. Here's what I want to talk about in particular today, the risk of the unrisky life. Particular concept that's thrilling that has to do with how God made us, and it will be part of the invitation for you and me today to actually welcome risk, welcome problems, welcome challenge, because something happens to us in the midst of that embracing, challenge-embracing life that will not happen to us otherwise. So, Jonathan Haidt, page 72. In the late 80s, a great experiment was launched in Arizona. Biosphere 2 was and still is the largest attempt to build a closed artificial ecosystem. The idea was maybe someday we'd be able to sustain life all over the place. The goal was to have people be able to live for several years, oxygen they breathe, water they drink, food they eat, all generated within the facility. The goal was never reached. Turns out the complexity of the biological interactions among species and social interactions among humans proved to be too much, but a lot was learned from the multiple failures. For example, many of the trees they planted to create a rainforest ecosystem grew rapidly but fell before reaching maturity. And you might wonder, they were able to design a perfect environment, why were the trees falling? Well, it turns out that young trees need wind to grow properly. When the wind blows, it bends the trees, which tugs at the roots on the windward side, compresses the wood on the other side. The root system expands to provide a firmer anchor when it's needed. The compressed wood cells actually change their structure and get stronger, and it's called stress wood, stress wood. The wood needs stress. It needs wind. It needs problem. It needs challenge. If it gets that, it will become stronger. If it does not, it will become weaker. It will not be able to sustain life. And Haidt goes on to talk about how that's a great metaphor for children, and not just children, but for human beings. And God has designed us this way. And particularly when we walk through life with God, we can face the wind. We can embrace the challenge. And that's why James says in the beginning of that first chapter, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, do not resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and produce in you the quality of endurance. You are stress wood. You will get stronger. I will get stronger. If all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into my life and I'm able to learn to welcome them, come on, let's take it on. So three different words here. Going to the high-tech overhead cam. Some items in life are simply fragile. And these are ones that break easily. Nancy and I, years ago, in an antique store, and I had the baby on my back, and there were books. I was looking at books. There were also these glass faces, really nice. And Nancy said, do not read a book in here. That baby's on your back. Baby's going to lunge, going to break over a vase. You're going to have to pay for it if it happens. And I said, you know, I have a PhD in psychology. I can handle it. Nancy was pregnant with our second child at the time, and at one point she turned around and her body extended beyond its previous boundaries, and she actually knocked over a vase with her stomach and I've never mentioned that, I think, until now. Anyway, the glass vase, that's fragile. That would be an example of something that's fragile. And then there are items that are what might be called non-fragile. So plastic cups. Plastic cups can withstand getting knocked over, but doesn't get stronger if it does get knocked over. And then Haidt notes a book by an author by the name of Taleb. And the title of the book is Anti-Fragile. Some things are, and he coined this word, anti-fragile in this sense. They actually need to get over now and then in order to get stronger. Now, there's very few inanimate objects that are that way, but living beings can be that way. So a great example of this would be the immune system. The immune system actually needs to get exposed to problems, risks, in order to develop stronger immunity. You may know, peanut allergies kind of didn't used to be a thing. And it turns out in the 90s, there was a big scare about peanuts and peanut allergies. And so parents began to protect their kids by making sure they never ate or came in contact with peanuts. And guess what happened? It turns out that to develop an immunity to peanut allergies, you have to be exposed to peanuts. And if we create a peanut-free world, then the increase in actual peanut allergies goes way up. So here's what Haidt writes. As the Stoic and Buddhist taught long ago, happiness cannot be reached by eliminating all triggers from life. Rather, happiness comes from learning to deprive external events of the power to trigger negative emotions in you. And of course, that's an area where Christianity, faith in God, would agree with what the Stoics saw, what the Buddhists saw, and actually take it one step farther in the sense that the invitation in the midst of problems is not just to be anti-fragile myself, but to learn how to do the with life God. It is faith in God. It is the presence of God, God with me and God at work inside me that actually enables us to transcend any challenge, including death itself, and become the kind of person who is not just anti-fragile myself, but then able to offer and give and bless other people in the midst of those problems. So over and over in the Bible, it says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Or Paul writes in Philippians 4:13, when he writes about all kind of anti-fragile dimensions to his life, problems that he's facing, poverty as well as prosperity. And so, and he says, I can do all things. I have learned to face anything through Christ who strengthens me. He is the secret of my anti-fragility. Now, Haidt's big thesis in this book is that in our day, we have a huge problem with younger people. We tend to underprotect them in the real world. I'm sorry, overprotect them in the real world and underprotect them in the virtual world. He goes on to write this. The best parenting book that my wife and I read when our children were toddlers urged us to look for opportunities to frustrate our children every day. So, if you're a parent, you might think about, what are some opportunities that I have to frustrate my kids today? Now, this is not, you know, generic, general, run-of-the-mill frustration by living a carnal, egocentric, sinful life. To frustrate our children every day by laying out and enforcing the contingencies of life. If you want to watch Teletubbies, you must first put away your toys. If you persist in doing that, you'll get a timeout. Yes, your sister got something that you did not, and that happens sometimes. Children are intrinsically fragile, and that is why overprotected children are more likely to become adolescents who are stuck in defend mode. In defend mode, they're likely to learn less, have fewer close friends, be more anxious, and experience more pain from ordinary conversations and conflicts. There's actually less gross. The unrisky life is actually riskier than the life with God. So think about young people in your life today that you want to bless, and part of what is needed is simply freedom, and children are naturally designed by God to reach out for this. We'll probably talk about that more in a future episode. But today the invitation is not just for the children in my life and how can I help give them those kind of opportunities, but how can I embrace, how can I grow in my anti-fragility when problems and trials and temptations come into my life today? Welcome them. So today, if you have too much to do, welcome that. Instead of engaging in self-pity or escape or so, all right, one item at a time. God, you and me together. I can face this together with you. I have a financial challenge. There's an area in life, really, really good thing, but it's going to require some financial resources. And I can either ruminate over that or instead I can say, okay, God, together with you, as I go through this, I can learn to trust you rather than putting my ultimate trust in money. That's a good thing. I can learn to be more generous and just love to give. And that's a good thing. And I can develop my skill financially as best I can. I've got lots of limits there, but as best I can seek to learn, manage my finances really well. I have a difficult conversation. Had somebody come up that I haven't seen for a long time, kind of a difficult situation, and I can learn in that moment, how have I grown in my ability to speak truth in love? And can I get better at that? Play the inner game. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, outwardly we're wasting away. Yep, it's a difficult, painful world. We age, everything goes on, problems. But inwardly being renewed day by day. See, that's anti-fragile. Outwardly wasting away, lots of problems, lots of difficulty. But those very problems and difficulties become, as I'm seeking to embrace them with God's help and embrace God in the midst of them, they become the opportunities for me to be inwardly renewed today. And then I experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the inward renewal. And then I become increasingly anti-fragile, like that stress would. Let the wind blow. We got to get out more.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word become to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.